Welcome to Empowered, Mind Body Inspiration. The mind is the map to wholeness, wellness, health. The heart is the key to genius and inspiration. Join me and my guests as we explore how to release and rewire into who you truly are, unique, whole, and empowered. Please like, share, and subscribe. Spiral up, spiral out. Welcome, everyone. Today we have Diane Elms, an iridologist, homeopath, and author of Living on the Go. Diane is also founder of the Phoenix Rising Center. Welcome, Diane.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So good to have you. So today we're going to discuss the ins and the outs of cancer.
Okay. I think it's more the ins and the outs of the cancer industry. As opposed to the ins and outs of cancer itself, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. I think probably the best way to get through this or to begin it is for people to understand this is not something I chose. This is not something that I thought would be a great thing to spend my time on when I get into this. But I'm going to just share something first because it just came to my mind. It was interesting when I went to school, and that's how I met you, Jane, is when we went to school for homeopathic medicine. I think it's in year two. I can't remember. But remedies are chosen and you have to study them and then present them in class. Do you remember if it's year two or year three? Doesn't really matter. Anyways, every remedy that I was given, and I didn't choose them, every remedy that I was given was actually a cancer remedy.
Oh, how interesting.
Every one of them had cancer properties and was a cancer remedy in one way or another. So yeah, interesting. Anyways, so people understand, you know, a lot of times people get driven into a field because of a personal experience. That's not my case. Okay. Cancer, not even, you know, in my family, it's not like in that. It touches everybody, but it's not one of those things that are because of a personal experience that's why I do what I do. Okay. It's not because of that. I believe it. The cancer industry is an injustice for all people. And I have a challenge with injustice and hurting people. And my husband used to always say to me, Diane, you're so naive, because I could just not, in my mind, I just can't understand how people could do things they know are wrong and or do things to people that they know are wrong and continue to do them. I see that just isn't part of my DNA. That just isn't part of my realm, right? Of what I can handle or believe in. And so it's hard to understand that how this could go on and go on and go on. So let me explain. So as a practitioner, I was starting to get a lot of experience with patients with cancer and trying to do things naturally and homeopathically. And the mental emotional state is so important with people with cancer and what their cancer is and how it relates in the body and what emotions are there and the background. So I was asking people, so when I went to school, homeopathic school, in year three, we had a professor that did labs. So we knew what, you know, blood work we should be asking for our patients to do and stuff like that. So very intriguing. So he actually helped me put a whole list together of what different blood tests should be done for different cancers. So the one that really kind of caught my attention was called the CEA, cancer antigen antibodies. So it's a marker that we all have in our body. Okay. So I want to say that again. It's a marker that we all have in our body. The acronym for it is, or how they documented it, CEA. So as this professor explained, we all have this protein in our body. And if you go on the Canadian Cancer Society's website and type in CEA, don't take my word for it, go do your homework, CEA, it says that they use this marker when patients are having treatments. And if this marker levels come down, they know the treatment's working. Okay. So I go, if it says they use this in treatment, and the numbers come down, the level comes down if treatment is working, shouldn't this be, and if we all have this in our body, shouldn't this be something that we should be monitoring throughout our life? That's just how I thought. Okay. Now, no one test should ever be the ultimate test. No one test should ever be taken and you make a diagnosis. No one test should ever be done just once and that's what you base everything on. It's just not the way it is. Because even when you get blood work done, CBCs, which is red blood cells and white blood cells, and something shows up, then you have to do more investigative work in blood work, right? You never just take one test, one number, and leave it as that and say, this is the way it is. That's, you know, this is a basis to begin with. And I kept thinking about, well, if we all have this in our body and people go for routine blood work, whether they get it done every year, every 2 years, every 3 years, whatever, they would generally then get tested glucose, A1C, and cholesterol, because those are all markers you want to keep track of for prevention, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, if, you know, 1 in 4 are going to get cancer, 1 in 2 are going to die, then shouldn't we be doing a little bit more prevention? That's just how I think. So I'm like, okay, I start asking my patients regardless, right? Ask your doctor if they will do the CEA blood test. Well, my patients were shocked and I was shocked. I had family doctors who came back and said, I don't even know what that blood test is. I had one family doctor come back and say, if I then order that blood marker, then I'm responsible to follow up with that person. Yeah, common sense. So then you would do ultimate other blood work, or you would then send them to an oncologist, right? And it would be early prevention. And I had other ones say to their patients, you know, no, I'm not ordering that. Plain and simple, I am not ordering that. Now, you would think that that one test, because there was so much resistance from family doctors and even oncologists to order that test, you would think that that test was $1 million. Right? It was just like so expensive that, you know, that OHIP would be telling them no, not to do it. Well, in fact, that test was, when I first found out about the test was $35. $35. And if you have cancer, the test can be done for free. And it's subsidized by some cancer societies. And if you don't have cancer, it actually says under OHIP regulations that it cannot be done for prevention. Why would any test be blocked by OHIP that you cannot get it done for prevention? That just blows my mind. So I didn't know that in the beginning. All I kept getting was all this resistance from doctors to get this test done. And then my patients started getting suspicious, like, what the heck's going on? So I went to my members of parliament, both federally and provincially, and I talked to them about this test. And they informed me that there are many pharmaceutical lobbyists, multiple pharmaceutical lobbyists for every member of parliament. I'm like, that's interesting, right? So I asked for how much money was downloaded from our federal government into our provincial government and how much money provincially goes into our healthcare system. And I wanted all of the OHIP laboratory expenses. So I received all that information. And that's when I looked up the CEA that right beside it, it says it cannot be used for prevention. It's blocked by OHIP to be used for prevention. And then as I went further, it didn't take me too much longer, but as I went a little bit further, it actually stated that it's due to the Ontario Cancer Treatment and Research Foundation was blocking it. And then when I went back into there, that led me to an act that we've had in Parliament since 1939 called the Cancer Act. I was not aware of this. Were you aware of this before I told you?
No,
I mean, I've heard it mentioned, but I haven't had time to look into it. So you have.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. also why you obviously now have a good idea why they would block such a test.
Correct. So actually, so let me just tell you what this, what the Cancer Act says. So, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that and then remind me because I want to go back to why I think it actually started. Okay. So the Cancer Act has been around since 1939. It actually originated in England and then like within a couple months started in Ontario. And so it's only 3 pages long, the entire document. And it, you know, says a lot of really non, you know, doesn't really make a lot of difference about a lot of stuff that says in it. But it actually states where any money that comes in towards cancer in any way, shape or form, where it can actually be spent. And so that's on number 5. So, and it's actually, we have a foundation that actually controls all the money. So the foundation is a corporate organization within our healthcare system, which I just find all these branches off and having to go from one organization to another organization. So the foundation is to establish and conduct a program of research. You got to hear these words, research, diagnosing, and treatment of cancer. Did you hear the words prevent or cure?
No, I did not.
That's right. So in the Cancer Act itself, it says all the money, all the cha-ching, the billions of dollars, federally and provincially, that comes into Ontario, that gets put towards cancer. The object of the foundation, which controls it all, is to establish and conduct a program of research, diagnosing, and treatment in cancer. It does not say to cure or prevent.
Right.
And so people may say, oh yeah, well, what are they doing research on? Yeah, they're actually doing research on diagnosing and treating cancer, not cure or prevent. So that makes you sit back and go, wow, well, it did to me. Mm-hmm. So then it also is in here that, you know, about liability and how there's no liability to all those that work in cancer. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I did not.
No liability. So that's right in the Cancer Act.
So
and then
anything that they do, they won't be liable for.
Correct.
Even if it's experimental or.
Correct. You got it. So, and I know I'm laughing because I've shed many, many, many tears over all of this and the injustice of it all. And so, and then two other sections. So I'm going to read 15 first, and then I'm going to go back to 14. So there's actually only 16 parts to the act. So, but I'm going to read 15 first. It says, subject to the approval of the Lieutenant Governor and Council, the foundation may apply for or acquire by purchase, assignment, or otherwise rights to any patent relating to any remedy. So you know what a remedy is, something natural, right? They don't call pharmaceutical medicine a remedy. A remedy is something natural. Relating rights in any patent relating to any remedy for the prevention or cure of cancer and may sell and dispose thereof, may sell or dispose thereof, or any interest therein, or grant or sign any rights that have been acquired by the foundation. So the only time the words cure and prevent are in the whole Cancer Act is when the foundation can come and take away any remedy that can cure or prevent cancer. The only time in the whole act the words cure and prevent are there is in regards to them being able to take any remedy away from who designed it.
So does this mean that they would block anyone that comes up with a natural cure or prevention for cancer?
Well, these words kind of say that.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, right?
Yeah.
But that's why remind me to go back to why I thought this all began. It also says in here that subject to the approval, number 14, subject to the approval of the Lieutenant Governor and Council, the foundation may acquire by purchase or lease, or may enter upon, take, and use without the consent of the owner thereof, any land and buildings that are considered suitable for the purpose of the foundation, and may erect buildings, acquire and install machinery and equipment, and purchase all such instruments, material, and appliances, and other matters and things that are considered necessary. So not only can they take the remedy and dispose of it or do whatever they want, because you know, that's what it says, they may sell, dispose thereof, or of any interest therein, grant or assign any rights. They get to do whatever they want with it, but then they can also take the land, the buildings, the equipment, and everything else that go with it.
Wow.
And this has been in place since 1939. So if you, and I don't have the book right in front of me, so you're going to have to, you know, give me some liberty with my wording. But have you ever heard of SEACT?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So Renee Casey was a nurse in back in the 30s, 1930s. She worked in oncology department, and her grandmother was a Native American who used a herbal tea. So when patients were to the point that doctors said there is no cure, they're going to die 24, 48 hours, she got permission to use this herbal tea, and she intravenously injected it in them. And lo and behold, people lived, right? They didn't die, they lived. So she was using this, and she actually had a clinic. And if you go back in history and actually read the book, and I've got a book, and it actually shows you the documentation, the members of parliament that signed it, that wanted her to continue to do it, right? So the story goes, a pharmaceutical company wanted to buy the herbal tea offer. She said, well, only if you're going to use it. If you're not going to use it, I will not buy it. I will not sell it to you. And within a couple of months, she was shut down. And then shortly after, within a couple of weeks, the Cancer Act was made.
Oh, so all around the same time.
Yep. So you could call it a coincidence, but I don't. And so if she already was showing that she could cure cancer, right? Or it wasn't her, it was the herbs, right? And cleansing the body. And I mean, she had people, they actually had patients come and talk to her and talk to the board that, you know, decided that, nope, we're going to shut her down. So we started this.
Wouldn't you? Like, you would think that there were.
Sorry?
You would think there'd be all hands on deck. What is in this SEACT and how can we help more people? That should be the response.
Exactly, right? So the main ingredient, and it's no secret, you can find the recipe. I mean, there's books called Cancer Salves and Cancer Cures, and they have all sorts of natural remedies in them, right? And so why aren't we using them? Mm-hmm. Right? And then there's also another product called 714X. And actually, when Prime Minister Brian Mulroney was in Prime Minister, he actually, it's called a Compassionate Act, and it's still in place today. So 714X is from a camphorous plant. It actually is produced in Quebec. I've talked with the biochemist and his wife. They actually contacted me because I wrote about it or did a YouTube video, and they found out and they contacted me. And so it's a biochemist that came up with this formula, injects it in the lymphatic system. So again, the key is it has to be injected into the lymphatic system, 714X. And same thing, they persecuted him and took him to court. And all these people that were cured, came to court as a witness for him. And he was never charged, right? The charges were dropped. But the persecution against this man, they're in Quebec. This company's in Quebec. And so they cannot sell it to anybody in Canada. They cannot sell it to anybody in Canada. It's under the Compassion Act. And so what that means is if there's nothing else that the doctors deem can be done, the 714X can be ordered. A doctor can order it. The challenge is by the time a doctor will actually say there's nothing more we can do, and by the time they go through the paperwork to be able to do it, the patient usually dies. And how sad is that, right? So McMaster University, so I've read two of his books. McMaster University was actually given a grant to research this product. And they actually had the biochemist Gaston come to McMaster, and they would not use it in the way that he used it or suggested it was to be used, by injecting it into the lymphatic system. And so thus they would not do it the way he said it needed to be done. And so they said it didn't work.
Right. So what would be the reason behind blocking these things?
So, well, I mean, I can't think for anybody else, but for me, it's an industry. It's not, and what's interesting, if you read in Ontario under the College of Physicians and Surgeons under complementary and alternative medicine, their policies, it actually states that, so it says, this is how the introduction begins. In increasing numbers, patients are looking to complementary medicine for answers to complex medical problems, strategies for improved wellness, or relief from acute medical symptoms. Patients may seek advice or treatment from Ontario physicians or from any other healthcare provider, meaning you and I, regulated healthcare practitioners. Patient has the right to make healthcare decisions that accord with their values, wishes, and preferences. That's what they say. But does it take place? No. And what recourse does a patient have? The only recourse a patient has, if a doctor will not comply with what they want to do, the only recourse they have is to then go to the College of Physicians and Surgeons and put a complaint against the doctor. Well, most people won't do that. A, they don't want to be confrontational. B, they're already sick, right? Mm. Generally, they're sick. They don't have the energy to do that. And what are they going to gain? They're going to fight against their doctor. Do you think their doctor is going to work with them again? So we have a really broken system. We do not, in my opinion, we do not have a healthcare system. We have a money-driven industry, because there's no money in getting people well, right? There's money in keeping them sick. So here's an example. I had a patient, he only came once. His wife was more into doing something naturally than he was. He had, he had multiple myeloma. And so they started him on chemo, and they started him on this drug, and it's called LENALIDOMIDE. So after he passed away, she came to see me, and she brought the box. I have the box. And she brought the box with me, and she said, I don't understand this. On this box, it actually has a red label that says hazardous drugs. Why would they use this to give to my husband? And she looked it up. This particular drug, it actually has a side effect that it causes cancer. Again, she's like, why would they give my husband something that causes cancer when he has cancer? Right? What, isn't that going against, you're putting poison in his body? It doesn't make sense. So to give you an example, because again, I have the patient's receipt attached to this drug. This drug costs $7,660. Okay, this is not the most expensive drug. I've heard some of my patients tell me they've been told or suggested to take. And in fact, I had one patient say that their drug was $25,000. Okay, that's a lot of money. Homeopathic medicine costs, right? What?
Well, $13 for the whole vial.
And, yeah. Yeah. Right? $13 for a whole vial.
And it matches the individual and the exact physical symptoms, mental, emotional symptoms, taken great care.
Yep. So you can just think about that, right? So there's no money to be made in selling homeopathic medicine, right? There is no money in that, right? Because it was around, you can't patent certain things because it was around long before the patent came in. And, you know, so these drugs cost a lot of money. It's an industry driven by money. It's a money driven industry. You know, I think of young kids and I think of all the childhood cancers now, specifically brain tumors and, you know, and lymphoma or sorry, leukemia. And I think, okay, wait a minute. I mean, I'm going to be 62 in a month. And I go, I don't remember one child in my growing up in my grade kindergarten to grade eight ever have cancer, ever.
Yeah.
Never.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was a kid, you know, I went through my children. I have children, I have grandchildren. And I go, I don't even remember a child getting cancer of my children's friends. I don't. And then all of a sudden now, the amount of children that are getting childhood cancers, I have to think, what the heck? And I don't even want to go into, because that's a whole different other topic that unfortunately, as natural healthcare practitioners, we are greatly restricted to even be able to talk about. So you yeah. just got to think about that in perspective, right?
The people need to take on the initiative. They need to look at what are the causes of cancer, know that, because you've got to get to that source and follow the money, right? And then listen to yourself and your own inner voice as to what is best for you.
Right. So before I even found out about the Cancer Act, I was in my prayer time. And I felt the Lord had given me an acronym for the word cancer. So I could visually see it straight in front of me. And instead of cancer being across the page, like it normally you would read it, it was down. So the C became claims, A became against, N became naivety, C became control, E became eternal, and R became restitution. So in other words, the cancer acronym is claims against naivety, control, eternal restitution. So what does that mean? Claims, pretty straightforward, against naivety. When you don't know something, okay, when you are naive of information, then you are naive of information. I was naive of the Cancer Act, okay? Control, eternal, because I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal savior and I believe in eternal life. Control, eternal restitution. Restitution means what God wants to give you, what God wants to give you, what you're entitled to. And I believe that we're all entitled to good health, but things get in the way. So from this and understanding this, and when I talk to patients, one of the things that I try to get across to them is, in many cases, people have made doctors their God. They bow down and they just do whatever they say. I cannot tell you how many times I've had a patient in my office. Now, generally, about 80% of my patients that come that have a diagnosis of cancer, they've already gone through chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, whatever. And cancer has returned. And now they're seeking a different treatment, right? And so for those people, I tried to explain to them that, you know, when they went to their doctor, did they ever question what he said or he or she said? Well, no, the doctor told me to do that. So I just did it. And, you know, they'll say, well, I've prayed that God would heal me. I said, yeah, you prayed that God would heal you, but you never prayed before you went for your treatments to ask what or how you should have gone about your healing. You just bowed down to a doctor as your God and did what they told you to do and then expected God to heal you when you prayed to God, when God's in control, not the doctor God. And so from my perspective, when people have, you know, open their eyes to that, it makes a big difference because we are all individuals. And Chemotherapy, yeah, there's different chemotherapies and there's different, you know, radiation, but it's still the same. It's chemo, it's radiation. It's generally, this is what we do, surgery, chemo, radiation. Whereas when a cancer happens in the body, I believe the body is trying to tell you, hello, wake up, things are not in balance, something else is going on. But if you don't change those things or get to the root cause of it, and most of it is through your mental emotional state, and it is through past hurts, and it is, yes, okay, I agree. There are times when there are toxins released. In Hamilton, there was a big fire called the Plastomass fire, where the first firefighters in, they didn't know it was toxic material. A lot of them got lung cancer. Okay, that's a specific situation. But in general, most cancers, and most people don't want to hear this, in general, most cancers are because of our mental emotional state. And I believe that cancer is a fear-driven industry. And I actually get annoyed when you go into businesses and for a whole month they promote Cancer Month, and all you see everywhere is the little pink flag or the little pink ribbon, because that's a subliminal message keeping in your mind breast cancer. People advertising, people need to understand advertising and what their job is. Their job is to keep that in your forefront. And in scripture, it actually says, what I fear comes upon me. What I fear has come upon me, because that's our predominant thought in our mind. Cancer, cancer, cancer. And when people, the first time they're not feeling well, I would say the majority of people run to the thought that, oh my goodness, what if it's cancer? And that's their predominant thought, because we're bombarded with it. We're absolutely bombarded with it. I don't even know how many months of the year now there is some kind of cancer thing. November's prostate cancer, March is daffodils cancer, and, you know, cure for the run. They don't want to find a cure. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I offend you by saying that? The Cancer Act straightforward says the only time that words cure and prevent were there is when they're going to take a remedy away from you. And that's the proof. There it is, right? Now, I will tell you that if you go and look it up, just type in Ontario Cancer Act. It's been looked up enough now since I've been doing this and educating my patients that actually now it says it's repealed. So I don't know what that means. I've actually contacted my member of parliament and Ministry of Health to ask what that actually means, because I don't know if because of the new health act coming out, which is called the People's Health Act, it's now changed and is now in that act, or if it's gone and they've taken it away, which I kind of doubt that, but, or where is it, or have they changed it? I don't know. And honestly, I've been trying for over a year now to find out where it is, and I can't find it. So I think it's hidden in there somewhere, just like it took me a long time. I actually had to contact the Osgoode Law Hall to get the background on the Cancer Act. I couldn't get it from the Ministry of Health. And even my member of parliament had a hard time getting it. That's how I got it, was through the Osgoode Law Hall.
Wow. And it should be right there for all of us to read and know about. And, you know, it should not be hidden. Mm-hmm. So, yes. And I mean, I love what you're talking about. And I too believe that it's a mental emotional trauma that brings forward, you know, illness that comes in the future. And fears are magnified in our cellular being. So what we fear the greatest, it will surface. Yep. And what you were talking about earlier too, Bruce Lipton talks about it, who we make into gods as children. We're programmed from 0 to 7. And what do we do if we get even the slightest bit sick? We run to the doctor, and yeah. the doctor tells us what to do. So people really need to go and listen to their own inner voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, you know, what's interesting is if you look on the Canadian Cancer Society's website and just look up side effects of chemotherapy, and what does it say? It says that chemotherapy, one of the side effects is a secondary cancer.
Yeah.
So when, you know, when, so it's not surprising, you know, when I hear people say, oh, I'm cancer free and it's been a year or so, I want to celebrate with them. You know, when I hear other people, right, when they say, oh, you know, the doctor said I'm cancer free, I know they've gone through chemotherapy and all of that. And I want to celebrate with them, but there's still a little part of me that goes, dear God, help them, right? Because if they never made the changes of the root causes, and now they've bombarded themselves with chemotherapy, right? When they get cancer back again, and what are they told? Oh, it's a secondary cancer from your original cancer. Well, think about that. You never then cured it in the first place, right? You never got to the root cause. You never got rid of it. And then you just bombarded yourself with toxic material, chemotherapy, and now you have a secondary cancer. It never went away in the first place. You just pushed it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right. And we really do. I honestly, the people that have made the changes in their life, in their mind, in their emotional state, and they stick with them, right? They make those changes. Those are the ones that are cured.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. And yeah. To clean the tank, to treat your body like the spiritual vessel that it is, you know,
yeah,
within your mind and what you eat and what you drink, what you consume, what you do to others.
Yeah.
So important.
Yep. Yep. It is so important. Yeah. And, and I hope with all this information, you know, people stand back and instead of just rushing into, I'll do whatever the doctor says because they're afraid, they actually deal with the bigger picture of why did it happen in the first place, right? Why did it happen in the first place?
And how and can then we do that
seek
so beautifully with homeopathy and, you know,
yeah,
healing that place.
Yeah,
that-
but you know,
but you know,
those two little pellets that can't help it. You know, I'm laughing because, you know, when people first start taking homeopathic medicine, right. And they go, that's it. Two little pellets. And I go, yep. See, you had a follow-up, you know, and however, but it's just amazing. And I don't know, have you ever read any books from Eli Jones? And I know we want to keep an eye on the timeframes, but have you ever read any of Eli Jones's books?
No.
Okay. So he's a medical doctor. He was a medical doctor in the late 1800s and in the US, and he has written several books on, and he specialized in, again, drugless cancer care. So medical doctor, but back then the medicine was homeopathic medicine. And he used a lot of tonics, which were herbal tonics. So there's another word for what most people called him because he, I can't think of the word they used back then, because he did use herbal stuff and homeopathic medicine and all that. Most people don't know that homeopathic medicine in Ontario was the first regulated medicine. They don't know that. They don't know the history. They just know what they've been programmed, like you were saying. But anyways, he would have people come from all over. And you got to remember, they were coming by horse and buggy to see him. And, you know, all the cases that he cured of cancer. And it's amazing because they're the same homeopathic medicine that we have today. I think our cancers are different because mental emotional state is different and all of that. But those remedies, you know, homeopathic medicine is still there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some great.
And it's been available to us.
Yeah, it's so available. Like Ananda Moore talking about magic pills, Nadia Bakir, how it works. I've got some great listens up. Alex Tournier on the research on homeopathy, showing that there's no doubt that it works. We're still working on how it works, but it's on such a deep level that it's, he says, it's close to how life comes into creation itself. It, you know, it's like a very subtle energy that works on these subtle levels and can be very powerful.
And, you know, the Banerjays, I have their book that, and again, you go on their website, they're not afraid to share what they've done. They want people to be healed, right? Mm. So the Banerjays have already, and 10 years, the National Cancer Institute tried to prove them wrong, and they couldn't. And so they published their work, right? For cures of brain tumor and lung cancer, right? So, and they list their, the whole thing out, you know, so it's so beautifully, and they prove it. And because in India, they're allowed to do CT scans, x-rays, everything, blood work, they have all the material to back it up. Yeah, and the National Cancer Institute, 10 years, tried to prove them wrong and couldn't, and had to publish their work. So people are unaware of that. Those studies are already done, that homeopathic medicine cured brain tumor and lung cancer.
Yes.
So it's there.
Studies. And, you know, I love this series, The Truth About Cancer, as well. It's really enlightening.
Yes.
I encourage anyone that
Yes.
is worried about. I mean, after listening to that, it took the fear out of cancer. I was like, oh,
exactly.
I'm the master of my own destiny, and I'm not going to think about what you're saying. Fear is like, if you don't know enough, you enter that realm of fear. Because
right. You
don't understand it, right?
Yeah. And we all have times when we doubt and aren't as strong mentally and emotionally, but really your subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between what's real and what's not real. It can't. No. So if you keep playing unreal pattern in your brain will soon believe it. That's what it, the essence of what it comes down to is our brains cannot distinguish what is real and not real. You keep playing that message and your brain will believe it.
And you create it in your own life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Through your fears and your anxieties and everything else.
So Diane, if people want to find out more and reach out to you, how do they find you?
Mm-hmm. So the clinic is called the Phoenix Rising Center, and I am in the midst of doing some fundraising now to grow to a larger facility. And so it's called Phoenix Rising Center, and center is spelled CENTER.ca. And the office number is 905-768-0848. You can send me an email at founder@phoenixrisingcenter.ca, any of those ways. And so we're located right now in Hagersville, Ontario. And but like I said, I have believed for a long time of this one place where I believe the Phoenix Rising Center is going to go to or be eventually. And, you know, I had a vision, four buildings or four floors, all of it. And this building perfectly fits it. And so I'm just believing that's where we're going to be in the very near future.
Well, that's a beautiful creation.
Yes.
Any last words that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Just, you know what, don't fear. Yeah. Just don't fear. Right. Because, fear is false evidence appearing real. And there's many, many stories. Think about all the beautiful stories of people that have conquered an illness, right? Most of them have done it because they had a positive attitude, right?
Yeah.
And to go with that. So yeah, just don't let fear override. Yeah. Seek the truth. Yeah.
And guide your mind to where you want it to go.
Yep. In doing that. Yeah.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I thank you for doing these things to get out there to people to have the ability to be able to hear the information.
Yeah, and just go look for themselves, right? We all need to empower ourselves with this information.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. And for everyone out there, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. Spiral up, spiral out.